Well, hello, everybody. We are back. And before we begin, I just want to give one more shout out. I am embarking on my journey down to the Melissa Lambert Scholarship Tournament coming up in Pampa, Texas, this upcoming St. Patrick's Day weekend. So if you guys are going to be out there, please feel free to find me. We'll high five, exchange pleasantries, and have a good time of merriment. So please come say hello.
A gay old time.
A gay old time. And I promise you, I won't be this formal at the tournament. We're just trying to record and keep it PG. But now, down to brass tacks. Let's get it started with some Dragon Bags action. We love all the bags that they offer. So why don't you join us in loving them too?
You should.
Right? It's just, they have a great bag for every type of thrower. So why don't you head on over to DragonBags.com.
Wouldn't it just be easier if everyone that listens to the show, we all just threw the same shit?
Right? Yeah, if everyone here would just throw Dragon Bags, then you would understand all of our references.
You'd be happy too.
Yeah, I mean, it made us happy. Sure did. So why don't you let them make you happy? Over at DragonBags.com, drop code BIGASP12 at checkout to save yourself some money. So do that and save yourself some money. Let's go.
Cornholing.
We hope you throw it straight and nothing but four baggers from here on out.
And welcome back to another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Sean and Dane are with you as always. Dane, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Just got a belly full. Just came from Sunday dinner. Had some French fares.
I love it.
Not
a good
French fries.
Sunday dinner is nothing.
French
there's
fares.
No, there's okay. Nothing like it.
I know. Just we've always been fans of the family Sunday dinner.
You know what? Like it gives me. I can have a few beers. There's good food. Good conversation. We played little trivia. Boys versus girls, and the boys dominated. Don't want to brag.
Boys won. What's up?
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
thank you, David. We climbed on that back and rode that shit, but we will claim victory because we were on the team. Hell yeah. All right. Well, we got a fun little episode this week. So before we get into anything else, Dane, do what you do best every single week. We're excited for this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let the folks know what we're sipping on tonight in our favorite segment called What You Drinking.
Ha-ha! What you drinking?
Well, if you're a fan of the show... You know that
I'm so excited.
Are no stranger to Southern Tier Brewing.
You already cracked yours.
Oh, I did. Mm-hmm. Sean's gonna give his first sip taste here, but Southern Tier came out with a brand new hazy IPA called Citra Fog.
Is there a better sound?
Dude, no, there is not. How's she taste?
Banger.
Always.
This is what I like though.
Yeah.
I mean, hazy, citrusy stuff. Yeah.
Southern Tier, they don't come out with the frequency as some of these other companies do, but when they do, they always slap. This is a 6%er. If you're ever in Lakewood, New York, or any of their many other breweries, go check them out. They have phenomenal food, great beers. And yeah, I'm looking forward to crushing this sixer that we have here. So, as always, my recovery tomorrow morning is going to be brought to you by Cornhole Coffee.
Sure is.
If you need a delicious taste of coffee, go grab your beans over at cornholecoffee.com and get your morning started right. Drop code BIGASP at checkout. It's going to save you 10%. So head on over to cornholecoffee.com and grab your beans today. And don't forget, drink, focus, throw.
All right, folks. If you've listened before, you know we're bringing more audio gold today. Up today, we are reviewing the newest set of bags from Black Sheep Baggers. We're going to be recapping all the action that went down this past weekend in Tridelphia, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
We do have some updates on Best of the Bag. If we roll right into the semifinals, and if you're listening to this, semifinals are complete, and we're getting ready for the finals.
Woo.
And then we are going to be joined by a guy that we've been getting a lot of requests to get on the show recently. Rookie. Mr. Frank Verona.
Yeah, my Frank Verona Jr.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have him on.
Me too.
But before we get to anything else, all right, we have a bunch to get to this week. We're going to let you know what's going on in our cornhole lives in a segment we call In and Around the Hole.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
We've been telling you for years, stop throwing everything that's ugly.
Stop it!
You can just stop, and you can do that by going to Blackjack Cornhole, sorry.
You're staring at Black Sheep, talking about Blackjack.
I thought I had to burp, like it was like one of those like in between.
It's always the worst.
But Blackjack Cornhole won't do that to you. All right, it keeps your heart pure, gives you a sexy set of bags in your hand. You just if you go to the site God, Jesus. Blackjackcornhole.com. Use code BIGASP. You get free shipping, amazing customer service, and you're going to save yourself 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So go to blackjackcornhole.com and use code BIGASP today.
Sweet.
And we do a little bag review later.
I like the little. Little Sean's finger? Just massaging it with little, one finger.
Yeah, you know. We're a big fan of Black Sheep. All right. Black Sheep Baggers, loyal sponsor of the show. We love these guys, and we are very excited to review their bags. They just dropped a newest one called the Juggernaut, which we're going to be reviewing a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in the market for a new set of bags and you haven't tried them yet, you're doing yourself a disservice. All right. So go to blacksheepbaggers.com. They got a bag for every type of thrower. Use code BIGASP, and you'll save yourself some money. So go to blacksheepbaggers.com and grab your set today.
Let's go.
So what's up?
That's what's up. Did you get any cornhole action in this week, Shawnee?
I did. I mentioned it to you right before we were going to record. I did get a chance to practice a little bit on Wednesday. I had a little bit of a gap in between patients, and it was probably the worst round of practice I've had in a long time.
Nice.
I just, you know, do you
makes you want to keep playing, right?
Do you ever have those days like where you just feel like nothing is on, like no bag ever feels the same coming out of your hand? Yep. Like, I just wasn't doing anything consistently.
Yeah.
Like, I was throwing a lot of sevens and eights. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, just, and normally when I feel like now I'm at the point I should be at like eights and nines.
Yeah.
No, like, consistently. Totally, like, I'll have some four baggers. I'll have some tens. I'm going to miss a shot here or there. You know what I mean? But like, I feel like consistently across the board, if I can hit like 9 to 10, like I feel very comfortable in practicing. But what I just felt like everything was off, and I ended up just stopping. I'm like, just, you're going to get yourself worked up. And I know myself. I'm like, you're going to panic, and then you're going to try to rework everything. Like, it might just be an off day.
Just walk away.
I tell patients all the time, like when they come in, I work chronic pain, right? They could be having good days that come in, and they act like Chicken Little if they're having pain again.
Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes we just have bad days. So I had to tell myself that. Sometimes you just have a bad day of practice, and I have taken heart. Going way back, right, several years ago, one of the things Matt Guy told us is that when he's having a bad day of practice, he stops.
Yep.
He doesn't try to grind through it. He's like, some days you just don't have it, and it's okay. You just walk away, and you only want to remember the good days.
Yep.
So that's what I did. What about you?
I had no time this week, man. I'm in the throes of my super busy season right now at work, so it's been a little hectic, but looking forward to getting out there down to Texas and slinging some bags. I'm sure I'll be able to get some practice in before the actual tournament takes place. So very much ready for it. And you know, I'm going to be playing in the competitive division because my SPR allows it. And yeah. I'm not advanced.
Are you playing with Brandon Perez?
Yes. Right? And, I think, I don't know. I'm excited, man. I want to see which game shows up for me.
Yeah, I'm super jealous. I love going to tournaments.
I don't even know if I'm bringing bags down or anything. Like I have no idea. So I might just not bring them to save myself some travel space,
because
I'm trying to just get down there on basically a book bag and just call it a day.
Yeah, like,
I'm sure I could survive on that.
So we've had a lot going on behind the scenes.
Yes, we have.
I mean, I mean, we might as well just
we can spill some tea. I mean, fine.
There's going to be there'll be a lot more details upcoming, but for the last 2.5 months,
mm-hmm.
the last 2.5 months, we have been working diligently behind the scenes to plan the first annual Big Asp Open.
Hell yeah.
So it's going to be September 21st. And again, more details will come. But September 21st is going to be in Independence, Ohio, which is 15 minutes outside of downtown Cleveland. And it's going to be a team event. It's going to be a Top Golf and Cornhole team event, teams of four. We're super excited. We cannot wait to release details. But it is official, about as official as it's going to get. So September 21st, it's inked, as they would say.
Ink it in.
Right. So if you are a planner, if you're like, hey, I'm a guy that has a calendar, I need some time, you know, to know what events I want to go to. I'm telling you now.
Yeah. Just
all right, in March.
Throw it down there.
6 months. I'm giving you 6 months notice, folks.
Yep.
All right. So September 21st, plan on being in Cleveland and come out. And it is going to be an epic tournament. We're pulling out all the stops.
It's going to be a blast. I mean, I'm excited just from our planning of it.
So we're telling you now, we've been already working on this for 2.5 months. Plus we have 6 more months to build this as it goes. I'm telling you, this is going to be a tournament that you're not going to want to miss.
It's going to be fun. And we're trying to bring fun back to cornhole.
Oh yeah.
It's and you know, incorporate maybe a little golf with it.
Yeah.
Because why not? Who doesn't love
golf? If you've been to Topgolf, yeah. You've played the Topgolf game before. And basically that's what it is. It's going to be a four-man Topgolf team. Each man gets 20 swings, and then we're rolling right into a cornhole tournament at the same premises. So it's going to be awesome. So,
hell yeah.
Really excited. More details are going to be coming about signups and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm excited.
Let's mark your calendars. Mark your calendars. Jot it down. We'll have more deets coming in the coming weeks.
Let's just do the bag review. It's right here.
All right, we'll just hop right into it. Why not?
I got black sheep on the mind, man. I was rubbing it down.
And it's not just making them smaller. They completely reshape them. They make them more supple and symmetrical.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
Are you in the market for a new set of boards? If you're a cornhole fan and you're looking at your board and you're like, this is just pathetic. I hate it. It bounces all over the place. It just doesn't, the speed's just not consistent. Well, guess what? If you go to gnarlybags.com, they make some of the best boards in the biz, as the kids say.
The biz-nass.
All right. So go to gnarlybags.com. They have pro sets of boards. You can custom design. They have some stock designs as well. But the quality and the consistency of play is the most important thing that Gnarly Bags offers. So go to gnarlybags.com. Grab your set of boards today and use code BIGASS. Save yourself some money.
Sounds gnarly.
It's a win-win-win, right?
The trifecta. Ever elusive.
Yep. All right. So up today, we have, we're going to review one set of bag, but we do want to touch on Black Sheep Baggers re-released The Sentenced.
Yes.
We've previously reviewed The Sentenced. It's a herringbone style carpet bag. Very great. They updated it with their new resin. Okay. So we're not going to go through a full review of it, but if you're a fan of The Sentenced, you just want like a souped up version, you're going to like it a lot more.
Soup. You heard. So,
up today, we have the newest bag added to the arsenal for Black Sheep Baggers. It's called the Juggernaut.
You sure it's not a soft J? It's not Juggernaut?
It could be.
Or Juggernaut?
They are bougie.
Right?
So, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
It's got that lavender scent to it.
Mm. The first thing that struck me when I picked up the bag is the slow side is familiar, but the resin is nice.
It is.
It's different. You know what I mean? You don't feel this. Everyone's going to... Because a lot of the companies are going, especially with like the hybrid carpets, we're seeing a lot of the flat disc, large fill blends. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's kind of fine tuning it. Black Sheep Baggers, like, we're going to be different.
Yep.
Let's go back to the small blend.
They're going
to
be black sheep.
Like that liquidy feel almost. They're nice, man. So it's called the RTR. It's a Roll Tech resin.
Yeah. And, which is, it's strange because, you know, when you normally think of those kind of, the way you're describing the fill of this bag,
yeah.
When you normally hear those words, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be just kind of like a slide-in. No, like, this has that watery kind of feel to it, but it's still very bouncy. Rollable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's just kind of different. But, again, once you feel it, like, it's not really flat disc there. Like, you're just, you got a nice... blendish feel. I mean, it feels really nice in your hand. I don't know about you, but
I like Black Sheep because template wise across the board, they tend to go, it seems like they go on the smaller side,
yeah,
which is a nice alternative to a lot of the bags that we're seeing that are huge. Like if we held this up to like that Elite Pro Sniper, like I bet like the Pro Sniper is going to be sizably larger.
Let's see. I have it right here.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Obviously still within legal specs and stuff, but I like the small, I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's cause I have small hands or something.
You do have baby hands.
I really don't, but
jury's still out. But yeah, I think, it's strange cause you feel this with this carpet on it and you're expecting it to be like a crunchy big old fill that, you know, you can roll by throwing a $2 throw, but no, this one, like it's super hole friendly of a resin, gets tons of reaction to it, and it just feels like that whole friendly bag that everyone's like switching to, especially like in the hybrid world. But
it's like this smaller, real dense stuff. So yeah. What's gonna happen is, like, again, although the carpet material tends to not be as hole friendly as like herringbone or the hybrid stuff, because the smaller fill is dense, you're gonna get like the natural pull, right? Gravity's gonna affect the bag that wants to go down. It moves a lot. Like I was able to
You can do some stuff with it.
And again, like if I can get a bag to roll, it's a good, I mean, it's doing what the bag's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Speed wise, we're going, is it the standard four carpet, right? Slick side, we're going like an 8 or 9, like we'll call it 8.5. So mm-hmm. like an 8.5, 4. Again, slightly smaller template. The closing seams are great. I would say about medium size closing seam, but it's very clean across the top. Very rounded template, but still holds the shape as like as a universe, you know, uniform square. Overall, yeah, really well done. I was surprised that they went the carpet route, but if you look at it, I'm like, they really haven't had any like updated, like slower bags.
Yeah. I mean, they had like the, was OG2 was mm-hmm. pretty much, was like their one carpet bag that,
and they already had this, and then they revamped the sentence, yeah. and then they have their Costello X, which is their most popular bag. Mm-hmm. So I can see when they're going that route.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, if we'll touch on best of the bags right after this, but if you're really looking at the voting of how it goes, slow bags are still more popular than fast bags. Yeah. I know the Pro Sniper won the whole thing last year, and it could still maybe win this time. I don't think the mass majority of other companies are finding a lot of people throwing fast bags. I think the majority of people are still finding that they like a slow bag, regardless if that's best for their game or not. I think some people just have it in their head that, like, I'm a carpet guy, and you see their throw, and you're like, you're really not a carpet guy, but carpet you just haven't tried it. But I still think across the board, this is still going to have a market for it.
For sure. Yeah. No, I agree 100%. Like, again, it's one of those that I would love to throw this bag on, like, super fast boards.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's still just slinky. Like, it'll melt in. Correct. And catch the side and just kind of drip in for you, which is not super common for carpet bags. On a slow board, though, of course, carpet's going to hold up on you, but
it is
what it is. But all in all, I was a fan.
So we have the Team Black Sheep Bagger ones. Don't want to brag which are, or anything.
Yeah, sexy
design. I'm going 100. I like it.
I'll go 105.
Super busy, but I love it. I like the colors that they pop.
Yeah,
their printing is next level. Performance wise, where are you going with this? You want me to go first?
Sure. I'll go ahead.
I'm going to go answer my own question.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a 76.
76.
I threw it well. And that's the thing. Like, I think with me throwing hybrid carpet, when I'm throwing at work, my boards are like a better speed, right? I feel mm-hmm. like they play more consistent, like to what we're playing now. They're older boards. But I feel like, again, they're broken in nicely. So I get a truer sense of like how the bags react compared to these bags would move up my fucking home boards. Like, no problem.
Oh, yeah,
like I could throw carpet all day. So when I go to work and I threw them well, they're controllable. And again, they're pretty hole friendly. I'm not always the most accurate with carpet. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I do get a little kick here or there. So I need all the help I can get. Sometimes with a smaller template, I either love it or I hate it. I love it when I feel like I can manipulate and really throw it accurate, like throw little darts. Like, that's why I used to love the old school 357 like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, no way it would hold up to today with how small that bag was.
No,
but it was so small it could get through things. That's kind of how I felt with this. Like, it's not a bag that's going to get there and like reach out and grab the hole, but it felt like I could be a little bit more accurate because most of the bag was in my hand, not mm-hmm. like it wasn't a whole lot about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. No, I mean, this bag, honestly, it kind of made me like remember why I like carpet.
Right, I know.
And yeah, I'm gonna go an 82 on it.
Okay.
Again, it's a carpet bag that feels like a hybrid bag, which is like in your hand. I don't know, the feel of it just makes it feel comfortable with what I've been throwing. So yeah, I was a fan.
So we are moving right along in the best of the bags bracket.
Before we move on, the sentence real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
We just want to touch on this. So it the sentence now has that RTR resin in there.
Yes.
Yeah, makes this bag just that much better.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're a Herringbone fan, definitely check out the sentence too. Like, it's that new resin.
Especially if you're looking for nice you like the speed of Herringbone, but you're like, I want something more than what flat disc gives me.
Yeah.
I want a little bit more pop. I want more action when it hits the board. This is very much going to do what you're looking for.
Yeah, and again, like the density of this fill, like if you leave a little bit in the hole, like it's going to be easy to get in the hole. Like it's going to kind of all naturally drip in that way. So yeah, sentence, it's a great upgrade. All right, moving on. Battle of the Bags.
So Battle of the Bags, if you're listening to this right away, it's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we dropped the semifinals on Monday.
Yeah.
I made the executive decision this morning just because if we look at general traffic on social media, it's actually lower on the weekends mm-hmm. and it's much higher. Like, our highest days are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
I want the most traffic. I want the most eyes. That's the whole point of this. So I decided we were going to drop the semifinal matchups, all of them, all six matchups on Monday. and then going into the finals of each bracket on Tuesday. And if you're listening to this on Wednesday at noon, the fucking finals
are dropping. The finals are there.
Okay. It is. So the semifinals, I was very happy that, so semifinals, three brackets, 12 total bags remain.
Yep.
Out of the 12 bags, we have eight different bag manufacturers. I like seeing that. Hell, I wanted to see as many different manufacturers
for
represented.
Sure. Yeah.
So Lucky Bags is the only company that is represented in all three brackets. Mm-hmm. Still, they have Pro Sniper in the fast, they have Surefire in the slow, and then they have the Elite Pro Sniper. BG, right, coming in very strong. They had three bags going in there. They're left with a Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
I said before the bracket started, I'd be surprised if the Wizard didn't take it down this year. But again, we'll kind of see where it's at. A dark horse. I don't know. I don't want to say out of nowhere, because I think during that draft, I had even made a mention that, like, somebody else is going to be the gambler this year, and it might be a company like a Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
Man, they have two bags. They made it. They're in the fast bracket and the hybrid. They have the Tempest in the fast bracket and then the Wintertide.
Yeah.
All right. Ironically, they're facing Ultra in both of them.
Yeah.
All right. So the Wintertide is going against Viper R.
Can David beat Goliath?
And Tempest is going against Viper. I have a feeling, again, this is Sunday we're recording.
Yeah.
Not posting it. I have a feeling that the Tempest might pull out the win against the Viper.
Then Viper R takes the game.
Viper R is not going to lose.
Yeah.
Just if you're looking at total votes across every round, it's Viper R and Lucky Pro Sniper have been the highest, mm-hmm, across the board. And then you have Sub-Zero. Again, I think it's going to be one of those same situations. You're going to get a situation where most of the Ultra fans are going to throw, like, hey, we're claiming our dude. We want this fucking bracket. Just like how I think BG is going to eventually come together behind the Wizard.
Yeah.
I think everyone's going to kind of put all their eggs in one basket, and the Viper might just kind of get maybe not quite as many votes. Maybe they'll get like 800, 900. And then
it's because of those damn dots.
Tempest could come flying out under the radar and pull off this win.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree.
Early predictions, right? Sunday night.
Yeah.
Who's winning slow bracket?
I'm there with you on the Wizard. I think the Wizard's going to pull out the slow bracket.
So we have the Wizard, which is going.
I mean, Surefire is going to be close too.
So Cornhole Scenario made a run.
Yeah.
All the way to the semifinals.
The Copycats, correct?
Yeah. So yeah. Copycats going against Surefire, and the Wizard is going against Fly Magic. So yeah. I'm interested. Dude, here's
another one, man. Yeah, they got a good following.
They do. Here's my only issue is Fly has yet to show them. Can they reach 1,000? You're going to need 1,000 to make it to the finals.
Yeah. I mean, they might after Trader showing up this weekend, might. You know?
And again, it could just come to one of those things where it's like, BG doesn't seem like it has like an anti-BG crowd anymore.
No.
It'd just be like, whether you like BG or you just prefer to throw something else. Whereas Cornhole Scenario, it's very polarizing,
mm-hmm,
which I think is going to be a good thing for Lucky Bags.
Yeah.
I think the Surefire probably... I think it gets by the Copycat, realistically. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to probably, I'm going to guess we're going to end up with a Wizard versus Surefire showdown. I think the Wizard's going to win it. And I think that, I think comfortably.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
And then Slick Side. I think we're going to see Sub-Zero take it down. I'm going to go Sub-Zero Tempest going against Lucky Bag Pro Sniper. Pro Sniper in the semifinals going against the P90 from Killshots.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm surprised.
If they can get behind it.
Listen, I'm a little disappointed in Titan Bag Nation. Okay.
Yeah.
I really thought there was a piss poor showing in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
I mean, you had it in your hand to kind of squeak by because the vote totals just weren't there. It just, man.
It's hard. I mean, we watched the votes plummet, you know, whenever there's an open going on.
Well, I'll be completely honest. I'd much rather see Titan Bags make it over Killshots, but we'll see. You know, it
didn't work out. But I mean, Killshots had a nice run. The Wolverine, right? Was
correct.
One that was in the hybrid that had...
It did okay.
I mean, it was a close matchup.
Yeah.
Got over 1,000 votes, but couldn't pull it off.
So you have Pro Sniper against P90 and then Viper versus Tempest. So it wouldn't surprise me seeing Pro Sniper versus Tempest,
yeah.
Pro Sniper winning that bracket eventually.
Yeah, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me either if we see Pro Sniper dethroned in this one. I don't know.
By Tempest or Viper?
No, I'm thinking by maybe Killshots.
No.
I mean, again, it all depends
Here's my only thing is, you know why? Because some people, obviously they have the cult following of people, yeah, that'll vote Killshots, whatever. It's the same thing with any bad company. When was the last time you saw a P90 in the wild thrown?
No, I know. But again, it's kill shots.
I get it.
Like,
I get it.
You don't see many. Like last year, I didn't see a ton of people throwing a pro sniper anymore, but that still took it down. So,
yeah. Well, and also you had one of the best players in the world throwing it.
Yeah. Which helped. I mean, it does help.
So, and then you have the hybrid bracket, which is shaping up to be pretty nice. You have Viper R going against Wintertide. We said that.
Yeah.
I think eventually the Viper R is just going to be too much for Wintertide to handle, but we'll see. And then on the other side, you have Elite Pro Sniper versus the Guardian. This is a straight up, where are we at with Brotherhood Cornhole?
Yeah.
Are they ready to take the next step to hang with the big boys? Because realistically, they should beat the Elite Pro Sniper.
Yeah.
The Elite Pro Sniper has not been out that long. Brotherhood should gather the Brotherhood Guardian fans and everyone that's just like, well, fuck, this bag shouldn't win because it's just been out.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like they're going to get a lot of those.
Well, yeah. And I think, too, like a lot of people, maybe they're like anti-establishment and they just want to vote for the little
guy. I hope we see three different companies in the final.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that we do not see nothing against them. I hope we don't see a clean sweep by Lucky Bags.
I mean, if they do, then
that's what happened last year.
Yeah, then I think we're just done doing this tournament forever.
No, we just run it back. Well, no, because then people just need to show up and like
somebody dethrone Lucky Bags.
So, and I'm not calling for that. If Lucky Bags wins, awesome, that's fine. I mean, Mike, I like Mike Hennessy a whole lot, and obviously they have a huge following, and they show up for the tournament, which is great. Like, I love the participation for it.
We just like I like things changing. I like to see the little guy win from time to time. So but we'll see.
I'm interested to see vote totals. I'm guessing that you're going to need probably 1,200 votes per round
too.
To probably take this thing down.
Take it.
I think the finals last year was I think Elite Pro Sniper had just shy of 2,000 votes to win.
You mean just Pro Sniper?
Or I'm sorry, Pro Sniper, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it gets a little confusing.
It does.
Not the mid, but or the elite. Just the pro.
Just the pro.
Just the pro sniper. But again, if you voted in anything, thank you very much. We had over 105,000 total votes.
Insane, man. Love it.
And still going. Like, I expect there to be, I'm hoping we can get to like
we'll get to 120, 140.
Yeah, so I'm hoping. Yeah, right around there, 120. So yeah. All right, let's go ahead and recap the stuff.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go ahead and jump over to the recap. So this past weekend, they had ACL Open number 11 in Tridelphia, West Virginia. You want to start with singles?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. So singles, I actually literally just got done watching the finals.
Yes.
So we had Devin Harbaugh going against Ryan Trader. Devin Harbaugh ends up winning it 22-19 over Ryan Trader. Devin Harbaugh was trying to be a gentleman, was trying his best to give Ryan a chance to win that game.
He really was, man.
Was up big, 20-12, I think it got to at one point. Harbaugh had 3-4 chances to win the game and just came up short. The one was a pretty bad miss, missed the board wide right, like barely hit the board. He then took it out on his headphones.
Chucked his headphones.
Which is very uncharacteristic of Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Widely regarded as just a very easygoing, super nice dude.
But you know, I mean, he jumped out to a lead.
Yeah.
And then he was just kind of letting Trader walk back the whole way. So I think this frustration just got the best of him, especially on a bag that he probably hits, I would say, like 6 of 10 times.
Yeah, I mean,
or at the very much pushes one in and leaves one off to the side, and he just clean side railed it. I mean, that's very uncharacteristic. So, but at the end, I mean, he was able to keep his composure, even though Trader was just hitting every filthy shot under the sun. And it came down to Trader went to push through, and his bag just kind of didn't have enough giddy up to it. And then Harbaugh was able to sneak around for a 2-bag push to get a 4-bagger on a 10, and that was it.
What I like seeing, again, obviously Ryan Trader has been the story of the open season, right?
Mm-hmm.
He, at least in singles. I mean, he seems like he's either in the finals or he's winning his bracket of every single open he's had, which is great. Let's see if this can translate to national time.
Yeah.
Again, we've said it before. We've seen young guys have a lot of success early on in singles, in opens, and it doesn't straight away translate. All right, Alex Hicks.
Yeah.
Right? Let's see if he can put it all together in a national. It looks like he's staying hot at the right time. What I like seeing is Devin Harbaugh, who's a guy who's been going to these tournaments. He's had a solid showing, but him, again, getting all the way to the finals, winning his bracket, and then winning the entire open, it's a good step as we get, like, what, a month away from the first national.
Yeah.
All right, this is when you start to turn it on. You want to see these guys win their bracket. other bracket winners, right? So we had Ryan Trader and Devin Harbaugh. Other bracket winners were Justin Burton Jr., Ethan Walker, Jeremiah Ellis, Tyler Poitras, Alex Hicks, and Fisher Hamilton.
Just killer list.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that. And now, listen, if we're saying we're surprised by anyone.
Poitras.
Yeah. Would be the only, and again, I saw him playing doubles.
Yeah.
The dude, he's got it again. He's back. And that's a good thing. And people, if you're new to the game, you might not recognize the name. If you're an OG in cornhole, you're going to like, oh, yeah, like you're not that surprised. Exactly. That's kind of where I'm at. It just took him a little bit to kind of feel his groove and get back in that pro level. But Tyler Poitras, the game's better when he's good. 100%, it just adds another stud to the field. It looks like he has it back.
Yeah.
No, just another no hesitation, shoot the fucking airmail. He can throw slick. He has all the shots. So he's a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the semifinal match between Trader and Ellis? And I know people are going to be talking about this.
Yeah, I didn't see
it's the hot topic.
I didn't so we see might the well whole match, but I did see the wave that shook the world.
So Ryan Trader puts his last bag in to basically lock up the win, right? After he throws his last bag in, goes in the hole, and he kind of like looks at the camera, does like a bye-bye, and like looks at Jeremiah. Yeah. Now, listen, Jeremiah Ellis is the first one to admit, I guarantee you, that he likes chirping. His match against Ethan Walker, they were chirping back and forth the entire time. And he's chirping a little bit with Ryan. It's all in good fun, though. That's when it's fun.
Yes. That's when cornhole
this is what we need.
It's fun to watch.
As when we're watching it, oh my God, how much more fun would it be if there was a little bit of shit talk? All in good fun. Not like they're getting aggressive about it, but
letting
the person know when they're playing well. So I know some people are going to be like, oh, it's a bad showing, or oh, this is going to get them next time. Well, no, I think I love it personally.
All right, but
when do you have a problem? Do you have a problem with this?
It's not that I have a problem with it. Just when did we were actually talking about this yesterday at my other family dinner. when did the wave become a thing? Like the bye-bye? Because I was watching North Carolina versus Duke. UNC's at Duke, and they win, and they all just start waving to the fans, bye. I see it on every platform now, and I'm like, growing up, I'd never once saw that as like...
We did in high school.
So I'd never... No.
Like the chant, like drive home safely and all that stuff.
Well, that stuff, yeah. But that was like, that's football fans, not the players themselves waving by and shit. Like, I don't, like, there is a level of disrespect there. Like, part of me, I mean, I understand, like, trash talk and shit, but, like, a game winner, like, as simple as it was for Trader for that, like, bro, just act like you've done it before. Like, I don't know. Like, I have more respect for the guy that just moves on and then, like, somebody that wants the last word. In trash talking,
I don't mind it. I don't mind the wave because again, like it seemed like good natured like trash talk in a way.
Exactly. Like,
but my thing is, I've always been a fan of talk your shit on the field, but then when the game's over, bad blood's over. Again, you shake the person's hand. But again,
No malicious intent with Trader and shit. Like this has nothing to do really with him specifically.
No,
I'm just saying as a general like fan of sports watching. The whole, like, waving goodbye thing, it's already overdone. Everyone needs to just stop doing it.
So do we need to come up with something new?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not cute waving bye to the losing team. Like, it really blew me away watching UNC do that to Duke in Duke Stadium. Like, I know you're being disrespected the whole game,
but... Who did it better, Trader or Logan Chamberlain and Matt Guy? I'm going to say Chamberlain only because you know, like... The intent behind it was really there.
Yeah, that was really there. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know, the wave just, it gets me a little bit.
But the Ellis-Walker match, I love it. Like the fun banter, little shit talk back and forth. Like just that's awesome, man. Like that's exactly what we're all hoping for when we're watching. I'm 100% in it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so in doubles, stop me if you've heard this before, but Adam Hisner and Trey Birchfield win. Doubles.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard it like the last two times or something.
Yeah, so Trey Birchfield himself is on kind of like an unprecedented run. He's won the last three open doubles, the last two with Adam Hisner. Pretty impressive stuff.
Very impressive.
They take down Sebastian Schaefer Ford and Cole Brewer, who were kind of like the surprise team.
Yeah.
Through all this. They ended up beating Jacob Gore and Hunter Thorne in the semifinals 26-9. Just took them to town.
Kind of handled it. But on the flip side, Hisner and Birchfield beat Tony Smith and Mark Richards 27-7.
Okay, so that's actually kind of a nice match that we got in the semifinals. I was happy to see that.
Yeah.
Does that change your power rankings at all? Like, does Trey and Adam, do they belong ahead of Smith and Richards? Because, again, we don't know what we're going to get from Smith and Richards. They won their bracket.
Yeah.
But anyone that watched them play looked like they were pretty uncomfortable. Now,
but we're able to win their bracket.
Exactly.
Playing uncomfortable.
Correct. But, again, to win it all.
Were they throwing pro snipers?
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
So, listen, Adam and Trey have a good chemistry going. Trey Birchfield is looking more and more like the Trey Birchfield of old, which is a very scary thing for a lot of players.
I love to see it because, I mean, like we said earlier.
He just looks like he's having fun again.
Yeah, like when Poitras, like when we said Poitras, the game's better with him good. I think it's better with Trey Birchfield good,
and
too.
And he's got it down with these bags now, and he has his strategy and his gameplay, and he's confident, and he knows he has a guy across from him that is about as steady as they come.
Yeah.
And they just seem like they have a really good chemistry.
For sure. I mean, they've been playing together for years or against each other for years. They know each other very well.
In that relationship, it doesn't seem like there's a 1A, 1B kind of thing. It seems, you know what I mean? Like, it really seems like they're
mutual respect, and they know that if they both go and do their part, they have a good chance of winning everything.
So now that we added all the fluff.
Yes.
Back to my question. If you were ranking, power ranking right now, Hisner and Birchfield, where do they fall?
I mean, I don't have them over Smith and Richards.
What about KB and Batson?
No. I'm giving the nod to them still because we always say an open's not a national.
Okay.
So
what about Burton Jr. and Chamberlain?
I put them like even keel right now. I would put Burton Jr. and Chamberlain right there with Hisner and Birchfield with just what we've seen as of late from Hisner and Birchfield.
I think it'd be dumb to leave them outside of the top five right now.
No, I agree. I think they're literally like right there at the 4 or 5 spot.
If we're doing power rankings right now, if gun to my head, and I might do this week now that Best of the Backs is wrapping up, we're starting to gear up towards National 1. This is when I'm really going to start driving into it. We're going to come out with our own power rankings for doubles, and we'll post them up for doubles and singles. I'm not saying I'm putting them number one, but it's a conversation that's going on in my head right now. On what do we do? Like, what do we do with KB and Eddie? Like, they haven't played as much, but like, they've won 3 fucking nationals in the world championship, man.
Yeah, and they just,
and like, they've been there, they've done that. So like, are we? And like, it was the same thing last year. Like,
you can't count them out until you see.
But we already. But again, I know Hisner and Birchfield. They haven't played together at the national level.
Yeah,
but they've played together plenty, and in the opens, it's translating directly to success. Yeah. It doesn't always, we know that, but when you're playing with your pro partner and you're playing this well, it just seems like it's a good time to get hot.
My thing is, if they're not ahead of them or we put them ahead of them after the first national, we'll see. Because honestly, like, I still, what KB did last year was just incredible.
Yeah.
And he still seems like he's doing well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I can't count against him on the national stage because, again, you just have to give the nod still at this point.
So you're putting him 3 or 4?
I'm putting them.
You don't have to.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, Birchfield, I'd put Birchfield and Hisner just behind them.
Okay. It seemed before, like, we knew pretty much, like, okay, these are our top 3 doubles teams, right?
Yeah.
Coming in. You can also put in, like, Kano and Hamilton. I think that they deserve that, right? Like, we had, like, this group of, like, 6 teams. Maybe 5 teams that we felt like, okay, but they could go in any order. I feel like it's even getting more defined now with Hisner and Birchfield. They were in my top 10.
Yeah.
After winning it again, like, yeah, they do. But they deserve that big jump.
Is Hisner Birchfield not just like the Ohio version of what KB and Grindersleeve are?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, like, young buck that they've played against forever.
Yeah.
Like, end up pairing up and here we go. They're just a little bit older and have been doing it just a little bit longer. So
yeah, very true.
Yeah, maybe they will end up overtaking them and having a season like they did last year. Won't surprise me. We'll see.
I got to watch more of the doubles than I did singles, right? So I watched Tony Smith, Mark Richards, and then Hisner Birchfield. And I also watched Smith and Richards in the semifinals when they played against Nico Morales and Poitras. They squeaked out the win against Poitras and Morales. They almost got double dipped. They didn't look comfortable. Neither one of them. Like Mark Richards, game one against Morales and Poitras was just off his game. And Morales was just, it didn't help that Morales only missed like two bags all game. But going into the second one, the one thing you're going to get from a Richards is he doesn't typically give up big rounds and he's a grinder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's going to make you earn it. Mm-hmm. And Smith at times looked like just effortless throwing the bag out. And then something changed. And it just never looked like he was comfortable again. And I'm not saying this is going to be like a panic mode kind of thing. You don't like seeing that as we get starting to get closer to National One. Now, again, you said it. They won their bracket.
Yeah.
Opens don't, they're not nationals. We get that. But it when you're playing against another team, when we're talking power rankings, it is interesting. If it would have been 21-19, all right, anyone could have won that. But it was 27-7.
Yeah.
Like it was a sound butt fucking.
That it was. Yeah. I mean, again, if you're not feeling comfortable, once you hit the other elite teams, you're not going to pull out the victory, but still good enough to make it to that point.
So, Jacob Gore is clearly as good as advertised, but who I was impressed with was Hunter Thorne, especially in their the bracket finals game. They played against Kaylee Hunter and Fat Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fath Sim.
Hold on, I have it down.
Fath Sim.
Yeah. Path Sim. Yes.
Something like that.
They're awesome a sneaky guy. Team, first yeah. of all, to watch out for.
100%.
The guy just doesn't seem like he ever misses. Throws slick side down. Has a deadly airmail. In the semifinals, though, he was Hunter was going against Path. And let me tell you what, like it was going against a guy that when it's a 2-point game and you can't miss a bag because you know he's going slick side down the middle four times in a row, he buckled up when he needed to. It was nice to see Hunter Thorne kind of take that next step into like just, I don't know, like he's always kind of been like, I don't want to call him like the lower level of like that Brat Pack guy, but now he seems like he's elevating himself and becoming like a very consistent pro level player.
Yeah, I think we saw whispers of it last year.
And then 100%, now he's starting to turn that corner a little bit. Maybe not even turning the corner, but he's at least staying at that consistency level.
Because last year, like we kind of had him where like Kano was at, and then Kano made that leap pretty quick.
Yes.
And I think like we're kind of just seeing Thorne get there a little bit slower, but he's
super very talented. Yeah. Correct. And I think, again, he's playing smarter now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And sometimes it just takes guys a little bit longer until something clicks in them. But like, okay, for me, going back to the Smith and Richards, it just looks to me like Tony Smith is bored, man. And I know he can hit all the shots, but I'm going to say it again. Sometimes I feel like Tony Smith throwing a pro sniper, although he can do criminal. All the stuff, but it like if he threw something just a little bit slower, I feel like maybe it just fits his game a little bit better.
Maybe.
We'll see. I mean, I'm interested to see how. Now, they could go and win the first national, and we're going to be like, all right, he's fine. We're good. Yeah. We're good. But all we can talk about is what we've seen last.
Exactly.
He just didn't look comfortable. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, the first national is always the great equalizer with the random brackets and stuff. Yeah. I mean, is that still the same?
I think so.
I mean, that's always the great equalizer. So we'll see.
I did want to say one thing. Did you happen to see any of the doubles? Did you watch any of it?
Yeah. I mean, I saw some of it, just not there, like there notable needs to be matches. Something
there. I mean, it should have been against the law. Like I turned the live stream on and I'm watching and I'm looking and I'm like, is Kaylee Hunter wearing pants?
Yeah, I did happen to see, it was like a,
like she was wearing
somebody
these, like,
went live and she was like
almost like these nude colored pants. Yeah, I could not tell. Like I'm like, what the fuck? Like that should almost be illegal.
I thought she was wearing like bikini bottoms and her jersey was like covering it or something. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Like you could
craziest thing
wear that, but
I tell you what, again, she's looking better. Like she's looking like the Kaylee Hunter of old.
Yeah, we're not talking about her skin tone yoga pants. No. We're talking about her game.
Looking very good.
Rounding and into what we've always thought.
Correct,
with her.
Man. Like we've said, like she's had the game. She has to throw the technique to be like that, to really compete, to be like one of the best females in there.
Yeah.
Last year, she really fell off. This year, I tell you what, like they've
she's
been
starting out right, man.
We're seeing their names at the end of these opens.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do is just keep seeing it. I think they're going to be a sneaky team. Like I won't be surprised if we see them in like, you know, finish like 40th.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like kind of get automatic qualifier kind of thing, but we'll see. We will see.
That we will.
Hell yeah. All right, so we got a dramatic reading, man.
Ooh.
In a world where bean bags have brought men to their knees, social media serves as sanctuary for keyboard warriors. Time for the dramatic readings.
And as always, the dramatic reading is brought to you by Big D-Bags. Nothing feels better in a big ass fan than a pair of big old D's flopping around in your hand. So why don't you head on over to Big D-Bags today and get that sack fulfillment we all need. You ready with that?
I am.
Let's do it.
Addicted to Cornhole.
Titan Bags.
Who's going to stop these guys? Three ACL opens in a row? Come on. I hear this is a record. You know who the real BG is. If you know, you know.
Ick yuck.
So I thought this is one of those little... I love that Cornhole community is still small enough that everybody knows everybody. You know what I mean? And that we can have fun with this.
This little
And if you're
going to
have
jab,
fun with like, anybody, BG is kind of a good company to do it because they're active on social media. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they get it. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of get it. Like, they're not going to get butt hurt about something like that. They get it as a marketing ploy, and any publicity is good publicity, right?
Yep.
So their little, how did they end it a little bit? You know who the real BG is? There's got to be the definite play in like Bad Gods, right?
Yes.
So Titan Bags flexing a little bit. The Titan Bags has won the last three double open doubles. I do have to say Rich Chamness, or I can't remember if it was Rich or from the BG account, said something like along the lines of, oh, that's cute. Call us when you won three nationals in a row.
Yeah.
Hashtag Bad Gods. Like, drop the mic at that point, right? Like, there's nothing else you can say. It's true.
Slap it to mic, man.
But Titan Bags, obviously making the right investment. They made the smart call. Putting these two together is definitely paying dividends. And I'll tell you what, Nico Morales was looking very good. Tyler Poitras was looking like he liked his bags
as
well.
Yeah, I mean, they got a killer team this year.
I'm very interested to see what Steven Bernasek can do. I think it's going to be a good year for Titan. I think this is kind of one of those years that they make the step. I think... Do you feel like sometimes people forget that they still link them with the old West Georgia bags?
I think we're out of that now.
Okay.
I do. I think we're beyond that.
Why? So Titan Bags is like, it's a big company, right?
Yeah.
But they're not like they're like a tier one, right? I'm assuming in terms of like manufacturing, but in terms of like overall popularity, we saw it in the Best of the Bags. They had a piss poor performance in the semifinals. I think obviously that has a little bit to do with it's the weekend and maybe the exposure overall isn't to it. But just their numbers, like in something like as dumb as like our bag contest, hasn't been quite as much as like some of the real big boys.
Yeah.
Like, is it because they have had all like too many bag selections?
I think that hurts them. I think that does have something to do with it.
Which I think for the consumer, it's great. They literally have a bag for everything.
Yeah, but now I feel like they're really starting to hone in on that. I feel like they probably noticed it themselves. So yeah, I mean, like the Talon, like that was a great bag that they
came out with. The Talon 2.0, yeah. I think is what it is.
So to me, it's more like they had, like you said, like the affiliation with the West Georgia bags and stuff.
Yeah.
They started making their own identity. They never really had like someone catapult them until
I know that,
like,
that
last
one bag.
Season, really. I feel like
every big bag company's had like at least that one bag that's really like catapulted them into like,
and
I kind of
put them like they're still like fairly popular, like just in the general public.
Yeah.
I almost put them like where Ultra was like 3 years ago or 4 years ago, where, yeah, you had a lot of like Viper throwers and stuff, but they weren't the ones winning tournaments early on.
Yeah.
And then like as it started growing popularity, more and more people threw them, and then they kind of blossomed into this like
I just feel like this is
it's just taken them a little bit longer, I guess.
Yeah. No, this feels there, like this could be a springboard year for Titan Bags.
Yes, I 100% agree.
If
they have
Adam
the team
and
to do
Trey
it.
All of a sudden hop on and they start dominating.
I should
in
say
doubles.
Like team as in like top to bottom, like they just have some absolute killers this year that
it's shown people like to throw what the best players in the world are throwing.
Yeah,
so far that's been Lucky Bags and BG for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. There's been a few in between here or there, but and those companies obviously are probably the two most popular companies out there.
Yeah,
Ultra sponsored half the ACL last year. Mm-hmm. Their bags were just everywhere. You know what I mean? So there's different approaches. It just strikes me as the Titans very much a family feel, right?
Yes.
And once you're in, you're in. But if you're out, you're out.
Yeah.
It seems like they've kind of hitched their wagon to the right players.
For sure. Yeah. No, I think all the players seem to respect that family feel too. Like they feel it as well. So like nobody feels like left out on that group. Yeah. So like I respect it. I mean,
I was a little worried. Like Birchfield was going away from a bag that literally like he made famous.
Oh, he made famous, but then what changed where he wasn't successful with that bag any longer?
I would argue that had less to do with the bag. And again, this is not a shot at Titan or Lucky. Less to do with the bag than it does probably like just lifestyle choices or.
Yeah, I mean, him just going through life.
Correct.
I feel like, you know, maybe just not enough time to play as much cornhole as you used to.
Again, if I was 20-something and you think this podcast was coming out every week, you're dead wrong.
Yeah.
Like, life is just different. I get it. So it seems like Trey's in a good spot. Hats off to them. Another stellar performance. Shout out to both Titan Bags and BG for just keeping the levity and having fun, man. Like, this is what it's about.
Not everything has to be daggers, folks. All right? They can just be rubber chickens.
And listen, you're allowed to go pound your chest after your boys just win.
Yeah,
not just once, but they won 3 times in a row. You're allowed to go pound your chest. Absolutely.
Thump, thump.
How many times did we have to see the BG reels going around with Eddie and KB winning 3 in a row?
Yeah.
Like, so celebrate loud and proud whenever you get it, because you don't know when it's going to come.
Yeah, loud and proud.
Oh, yeah.
You know all too much about that, Sean.
You want to cue the rap horn?
Do I ever?
Do it.
Just one more for good measure.
Do you like how many messages I get? People are like, I love when Dane goes crazy on the rap horn. I'm like, that's such a dumb part of our show, but that's like their favorite part is when you go crazy on the rap horn. I love fucking
that. I try to like, it's weird because I feel like I always end up like starting off with the same beat and I'm like, what beat is that? And like I play it, I'm like, no, switch it up.
All right, we just had Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Big Ass Cornhole.
And then I'm just left with Facebook at Big Ass Cornhole Podcast.
Yeah, I really fucked that one. I'm naming it.
Thanks again to our sponsors. Let's start off with the Dragon Bags. Head on over to dragonbags.com and get that heat. Drop code BigAss12 at checkout to save yourself money. And get your morning bean on at Cornhole Coffee. Drop code BigAsp at checkout. It's going to save you money on your delicious morning pick-me-up.
Stop throwing ugly bags, and you can do that by going over to Blackjack Cornhole. Go to blackjackcornhole.com, use code BigAsp, and you're going to save yourself 10%. Don't forget about grabbing your boards at Gnarly Bags. If you go to gnarlybags.com, use code BigAsp, you're going to save yourself 10% off your shiny new set of pro-level boards. And, of course, we can't forget about Black Sheep Baggers. If you're in the market for a new set of bags, consider checking out Black Sheep and be a Black Sheep. Join the team today. Go to blacksheepbaggers.com, use code BigAsp, and you're going to save yourself 10%.
Hell yeah. Big D bags. Don't be one, throw them.
Well said.
Nice.
Patreon. Stickers are coming out your way. It's literally printing off the address labels as we speak. They're going to be hitting the mail realistically probably Tuesday.
Thanks to our mommy.
Yeah.
She helped
The formatting on the Excel was like all, even she said it was all jacked up. So I needed some Excel expertise on that so I could get it all done.
Might be easier to do it into like an Adobe document, to be honest with you. Because that'll like eliminate spacing and stuff. But anyways,
if you're asking like, what the hell are you guys talking about? What's Patreon? Patreon's a spot where you can come get bonus content. You can support us on our endeavors for the price of a beer a month. You can get bonus content. You're all eligible for bag giveaways. We do monthly happy hours. It's really just a cool kids club, ultimately.
And
if you're
like,
I don't know if I like them enough to get them a beer a month, well, you can try it out for free. And if you like the content, you want a little bit more, then you can consider doing it.
Fuel our habits.
So go to patreon.com/bigasscornhole. And again, for all of our assholes out there, we love you. We greatly appreciate your support.
Hell yeah.
So stay tuned. We're going to be joined by Mr. Frank Verona Jr., ACL Pro, Brotherhood Guardian sponsored bag, already kind of making a splash early in his first year.
Yes.
Super interesting. Don't really know anything about the kid, but I've heard he's very nice.
Yeah.
Very well spoken. It didn't look like he had the best weekend this weekend, but we can't all win everything.
Exactly.
All the time. Can't, so,
I mean, he's also embarking on a cruise and like,
he's going a day.
So, I mean, I get it. It's a lot wrapped into
one.
I'm
sure we'll hear all about that. But, yeah, so again, don't forget, we're super excited for the Big Ass Open. It's going to be September 21st, 2024. Mark your calendars. More details are going to be coming out. And yeah, we're super excited. This has been a lot of work behind the scenes. And we're going to put one kick-ass event on for sure.
I am pumped.
Hell yeah.
I am all pumped. Right.
Well, hope you guys enjoy the interview. And we'll be back next Wednesday with some more stuff. But until then, as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later. All right, welcome back to the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. We're now joined with ACL rookie, Mr. Frank Verona Jr. What's going on, dude?
How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. So you just got back a little bit ago, right? So you were in Tridelphia?
Yeah.
All right, so I know you're joining us tonight.
We can just breeze over it.
Yeah, right? Well, it wasn't like the best experience, but so what? How was the venue there? You know, just walk us through your performance this weekend.
So I got there Thursday, and there is a blind draw at some random dude's house, and we're pretty sketched out. But
that's about as cornhole as you get, right?
I got taken to the gas station. There was those beat boxes that were they're 11% for $5, and yes, went to the blind draw, started drinking those. Could barely see the board. It was very fun.
Oh yeah.
So that right now, so that's probably the highlight of my weekend. Friday, the teams didn't do good. Saturday, yeah, doubles we couldn't find it. I played with Angel Camarena.
Okay,
couldn't find it. And then singles. Oh God, today. I played Eric Davis, and it was 6-3, and it was round 13. No one could score. He goes for his classic bar, so his dumb stuff. He gives up a 7. Very next round, he does the same shot, and he hits it, and I give up 9 the very next round.
His dumb
shot. Yeah, so he's up 2 on that dumb shot.
So what we're saying is Eric Davis is back.
he throws nasty stuff.
And it was 2019. I had a bag in, and then he had 2. Like, it was like a side by side, and then he tried to roll, didn't work. And then I tried to roll, and my bag's elevated like this in the air. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And he absolutely sends my bag that was elevated a little bit off the back for game. So that was out my. And then I lost to Cody Henderson 21-18. So 2-2.
Oh, Cody.
My bracket was pretty stacked, though. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, those two matches alone, I'm like, all right.
Well, they had, looking at the final 8, I mean, it was a pretty well attended by the pros, like location, it seemed like. It was pretty stacked. Didn't seem like a lot of West Coast names, but for the most part, everyone from the Midwest and East seemed like they were there.
Yeah, everyone showed up.
What bags is Eric Davis throwing this year? Do we know? What bag company is with?
He threw Elites against me, the new Pro Sniper Elites.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. I didn't know if he was going. If he was with Lucky Badge, if he's just throwing whatever. I didn't hear if he signed with anybody.
No idea.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's with Lucky.
How was the travel into Tridelphia? Because I don't even know anything about this city. Like, was it pretty convenient? Like, easy to get to?
It's weird. It's like,
I'm so glad
we're being on the road for like 20 miles and like road work.
Oh,
okay. On the way there. But then we got to the like around the venue, and it actually was like civilization. But if anywhere outside of it, there was just like the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's just hills.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see any of the little lights at night up in the mountains?
That's all
the moonshine stills. That's not a joke.
You're originally from New York, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're in New Jersey currently?
Yeah, I mean, I got a bunch of family down here in North Jersey, and then I'm staying here and then flying to Miami for the ACL cruise.
Sweet. So I know this past weekend, obviously, wasn't like great, right, for you. But this is your rookie season. You've already had a pretty nice open season so far. Has it gone up to your expectations? Did you have expectations like starting the season? Like, did you feel like you could perform as well as you have, or was it like a little bit surprising for you that like, hey, like it's, I think it's every pro in the beginning stages has like, oh, I can't hang, or I can't just like hang, I can fucking beat these guys. Like, did you have like that epiphany at some point this season?
I still have it. Okay. I still have that mental like block. It's like, cause I've only been playing for like 2.5 years. I've only been playing since August 21. And like a year ago, I'm watching these people on YouTube, and now I have to play and beat them. And it's hard. It's hard to get past. Sometimes I like don't care. Sometimes it's really tough. I don't know why. Especially like I've gotten to the point where I've like usually consistently will get deep in the brackets. I've won 3 brackets, 2 in Canada, 1 in Myrtle. But then just actually like thinking about it is like, yeah, Frank Verona is going to win this thing. It's like so hard to like think about for some reason, even though I know I have like talent to do it. It's just weird.
Well, again, 2.5 years is nothing. I mean, like a guy like Eric Davis or Cody Henderson, they've been playing for like 12 years probably.
Yeah.
You yeah.
Know what I mean, like that's crazy. What other game is there like a professional sport that you can go and like only play for 2.5 years and make it like at not just like just make it to the pro level, but like at a pro level, successful. Like where you can win. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's really impressive.
Can't think of any other.
I mean, I can think of Mark Richards, but like, you know what I mean? Besides, that's what I'm saying. Like, but it doesn't happen. You don't see it very often. Like, but it seems like cornhole is the one thing that you could pick up and become really, really good at it.
So maybe pickleball too. Nick Foles.
That's what I'm saying. I have known nothing about pickleball. Okay. Fair enough. So why did you get started? You strike me as like an athletic dude, right? How tall are you?
6'5".
All right, so it's already cheating. You can reach halfway to the fucking board when you're releasing it.
Yeah. Never have to take timeouts. I could always see the whole
It's crazy. So I'm assuming you were an athlete growing up?
I played basketball in high school. I actually ended up growing like after high school. So I was only like 6 foot my senior year.
No shit.
Like my best friend and his girlfriend, like their family was in like some random league and like they needed like a sub or something. And I had a little bit of time. So they asked me to play. And one thing I told them, I was like, you guys should not have taught me this game.
And you get hooked right away.
Yeah. Hooked right away. And I don't know, just took it to the next level.
Now, how long was it? Like, how long did you have to start playing until you felt like, all right, I'm pretty good. I could probably make a run at being like a pro.
I wanted to do like, so last year before like I qualified, I wanted to just get like top 100.
Okay.
Just to get the jersey, get to whatever.
So in the conference, you mean?
Yeah, top 100 in the conference. Okay. I really didn't have any expectations, but I went to the Bag Mania with Jimmy Humans the first. That was like what, 2023? Yeah. Okay. When he asked me to go. And we actually had success. I won advanced singles. We got third in open doubles. Like it actually like hit me that I could do it. And yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. It's still crazy to me. It doesn't like make sense, but here we are.
Don't worry. We can't really relate to those feelings either. So we've never felt that kind of success or anything. So,
so we're currently running a best of the bags contest and I see you're currently rocking one of our, semi-finalist Brotherhood Cornhole.
Let's go.
How did that partnership come up? Have you been throwing their bags for a while? Or is this like a newer partnership since you turned pro?
Yeah. So back to the Bag Mania, I won one of the prizes. Like I got money, I got boards and I got like the Brotherhood bags and I had no idea what they were. I was just like, right, whatever. I barely threw them. And then I went to Arizona, played with Jimmy again. And I got partnered with this kid, Asher Plummer from Nevada. He was like a sponsored player at the time. And we ended up getting like third overall in the blind draw. And then I was like, then this dude came up to me. I'm like, what the hell? And it's Brent. Okay. And he was like, yo, I want you on the team badly. And I'm like, what's going on here? I'm like, I don't know. I was like taken aback because like, I've never met him before and anything like that. I was strictly like throwing BGs at the time. I was like, I want this and stuff. But then I really thought about it. We met each other again at Worlds. He showed me like everything about it. And I realized like over time that it's definitely a better fit to me ever since, especially now that I qualified pro. And I can safely say that is easily, I made the right decision.
Are you throwing the Guardian?
I threw the Guardian this weekend, but I mainly like the Wingman.
Okay. Okay. And that's their herringbone bag, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. Okay.
Very nice, man. We scored them very well. So
yeah,
they're great bags.
I'd never really seen their bags out before until I went to Delaware. Mm-hmm. And I went to that blind draw and they were everywhere. I did a video just going around asking people like what their favorite cornhole bags were. I had to like start asking people like, do you have like another favorite?
Yeah, can you not? Because
like
say
I can't make like a whole video of like everyone saying Brotherhood Guardian.
You
like,
should have just chopped it up and given it to them. Like, here's free promo.
Well, I did. Like, that's how I finally reached out. I'm like, hey, can we review your bags? Like, I've never seen it before, but apparently, like, you have a huge fucking following out here, and everyone throws it. I thought the guy was from fucking Delaware. Like, just because
one of the higher ups is from Delaware.
Yeah, and that's what I found out. They're like, oh no, and this. Through the connections and everything, I'm like, oh, now it all comes together. Just makes sense. Beautiful. But the Guardian, they got a tough matchup. They're going against the Elite Pro Sniper. But I think they're gonna catch fire. I think they could win that bracket.
Yeah, once the West wakes up from the time zone difference, then we'll like catch up. Like they'll start out early. At least we'll start out early, but the Brotherhood will make the run as soon as everybody from the West wakes up.
That's the problem, though, is that
less time on the West. Yeah, exactly.
On that southern side. They still have 24 hours, but it's just the morning folk.
Yeah.
You know, can you get after it? But at nighttime is when you can snipe some votes.
Yep. So, everyone, if you're, you know, listening, it's too late now. Sorry.
So, you were playing with Nick, correct?
Yeah.
And how did that partnership happen?
So like he's broken an hour for me. Okay. Met him a couple times. He asked me to play like some random regional, like when I was like coming up. I was like, all right, let's do it. Met his family and everything, really nice people. And yeah, I don't know. It worked out.
Cause Nick's already had some success like on the like USA cornhole and stuff like that. So like he's kind of no slouch himself. You know what I mean? So like, I think as a rookie team, do you like where you guys are coming in at this season? Because you guys might be overlooked a little bit early in the season. You know what I mean? Like, do you like having like a little bit of like the underdog, maybe unknown, or maybe not underdog, maybe like unknown mentality a little bit?
Yeah, less pressure on us, and we get to have fun and shock some people, you know?
Ruin some days, is how I like to call it.
Exactly.
Have you guys talked like as a team, like where you, like goal-wise, like where you guys want to be or expect to be as like a doubles team?
Of course, we talk about we want to make some noise, you know. We don't want to sit here and just be active participants. We want to actually do something out here.
What's making noise to you? Is it top 20? Is it top 10? Is it,
you know, any TV broadcasts? Okay. anything like that? I mean, I guess I really don't have a specific number. I guess I'll say top 20.
Okay. And then you mentioned before that you played teams this weekend.
Oh, like the blind draw teams.
Okay. Are you currently on a team for ACL teams?
I'm on the Chicagoland Spinners.
Okay. And have you've played an event yet?
Yeah, we played, what was it? It was Myrtle Beach and Ohio. One of our matches got forfeited.
Okay.
It's probably an Ohio against Ohio team, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the Maze didn't have like six people, so
we got to win. What do you think about round limited stuff? Are you a fan of it? Do you not like it?
I think it benefits my game personally.
Does it? Just, okay.
Yeah. How just because so? I like to roll a lot and okay. like put take shots that will put me in a bigger advantage.
Okay. So you feel like you have the opportunity to perhaps put up more points at one time?
Yeah. And like strategically play rounds better. And yeah, I don't know.
I do agree with you. I feel like oftentimes you guys know that you can come back. So sometimes, and I'm not saying this is a direct reflection on you, but oftentimes like the dirty bag style players, I feel like you guys you're comfortable being in a little bit of a hole early on, but round limited, like you just can't do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you do just run out of time. So I feel like if you can start fast as like a slow bag player, you could be fine.
Yeah.
But often, I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, guys that like typically have a lot of success, like
We also talk about manufacturing points, and if you're able to do that round limited, it's exactly the flip. I mean, like I said, being successful, like make it hard to score, and that's pretty much the name of the game in round limited.
Now, remind me, you're a stepper?
No, I don't step.
Do you like this? Like, what do you like the rule? Like, I mean, I can imagine if you step, Jesus Christ, I mean, practically dunking it.
Oh, like the flip out rule?
Yeah, yeah. Like, does it bother you at all? Like, do you feel like there should be a hard, fast, like, hey, like a steady rule, like just can't cross this line until after the bag stops? Or are you like, you're fine. Like, does it ever bother you at all?
No, I don't really care. I mean, it's all for interpretation. You could think of it as a three pointer where you could jump past the line, like after you like you shoot it and it's a three pointer. You could think of it as a free throw where you can't cross the line. You could think of it as the bowling, you know, it's up for interpretation. I don't really like think it's a big deal. I mean, it's just, the only thing I will say is that something like needs to be enforced just to make like increase the validity of cornhole in a sense.
I agree.
Like whatever like is the rule should be like strictly enforced just to make it more valid and not be so controversial up in the air.
So let me ask you, like, let's say you're at your first national, you have a game to maybe make the broadcast. You're playing against somebody that historically we've all seen matches. We know who the chronic people are that might have an issue with like not even stepping over the line, but like keeping like now the back foot planted. Would you ever consider asking for like an official watching that, or you're just so focused in on what you have to do?
Yeah, I would never blame someone foot fouling for the reason I lose. Like, I think it's if I lose, it's on me. It's really nobody else's fault but mine. So, I mean, I would maybe, I guess, official like at that stage should be prominent at all times, especially that far into the tournament.
But you're not going to necessarily request one.
No.
And I think that's probably true for 99% of the people. Yeah. So people that listen to this, and we've gone over like this foot foul
time and time again,
I get people getting upset, and I think you're kind of expressing it very well. It's like you do think that eventually it should be, you know, policed better, right, across the board for all the games. But right now, you guys have to make the call, right? Mm-hmm. That's just how the rules are written. So this year, it really shouldn't be an issue, because I think 99% of you are exactly just like you, saying like, I'm so focused on what I have to do, I'm not going to let somebody's back foot bother how I'm going to perform. It has zero bearing unless they're jumping across the board or they're falling into your lane, or, you know, like we've seen it before. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. If that's the case, then 100% I completely agree. But if they're just like their back foot's lifting up a little bit, it had no fucking effect on it.
Yeah, no, I definitely think the midline rule is bigger to me than the actual foot.
I said that since day one. I'm fine if you go over the line. As long as you release the bat, I'm fine with it. As long as you don't cross midline.
Yeah.
If you cross midline, then yeah, that should be an automatic.
It's a 3-point line, folks. All right.
It's 3-point line in my eyes.
Yep.
I'll take it.
So obviously entering in your rookie season, how did you find the qualification process? Like, did you go through the pro qualifier and have to go through that way?
No, I went through points. Okay. I remember sitting there like at the World Championships. I literally sat there, watched the whole pro qualifier. I was nervous watching like some of my friends play, and I was like, thank God I don't have to do this, because I probably would fold.
So was that your goal, like going into that season, was like, hey, I'm going to try to get as many points and qualify this way? Or did it just, you had a bunch of success and it kind of just organically happened?
I didn't really start chasing points until like, I guess, January, February. Okay. And I realized I had like enough months left to like fill out all my points. I swept states, I guess. I won my bracket in state singles, won state doubles, okay, which really helped my conference points. I finished out most of my regionals, and the open points where, I mean, I went one of the last opens of Wisconsin where I got most of my points, and it was just enough to set me over the top, and I was very thankful.
Hell yeah. That's good. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, there's
no one wants to go
more than
pro
one
qualifier
way to become a pro.
No one does.
Yeah. And
yeah, I mean,
especially like Trevor Brooks is there. Just walk out, 'cause you know, he's requalifying every year.
Every year.
Yeah, I hope that's just his like his lore. He just forever qualifies.
We so bomb. He's such a good thing. So, are you full time cornhole player right now?
I go to school still. I go to school in New Jersey. I'm a phys ed major, so I do that. But yeah, other than that, I'm playing cornhole basically.
Where do you go to school at?
William Patterson, New Jersey. Sweet. Like northern New Jersey.
Hell yeah. What year are you?
I'm a junior. I transferred like from a state school in New York. Okay. So kind of behind on school.
I got you.
Definitely not a good student my first couple of years. So
I get it.
It's definitely just catching up.
I get it. Now, is cornhole travel, is it hard to manage like school and like the amount of travel you guys are required to do?
Depends. I mean, I was definitely procrastinating making my school schedule this year, so I got to miss a lot more class than I did last semester for this, and especially now that I have to make most of these events. So, yeah. But I'm making it work. I don't care. I like this too much.
I think tomorrow you're leaving for a cornhole cruise, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're representing the ACL?
Yeah, so it's me and Miranda Coy. We basically go on the boat and we run the tournament, run a single elimination tournament, like representing the ACL. There's like college party crews, like a company. So it's like it's geared towards like the college demographic.
Sweet.
And like developing that program. So yeah, we just run one tournament and have fun.
Is that something that's an all expenses paid kind of thing from the ACL?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
The only thing I got to pay for is a plane ticket.
Dude, that's sweet.
That's awesome.
That's not a bad gig. So how did you get hooked up with that? Like, did they reach out to you or did you show interest?
Originally it was supposed to be Jimmy Humans was supposed to go.
Okay.
And they're like, yeah, you need another person that's over 21. I got blessed enough to be picked. And then he had the back out. So now it's Miranda, which is going to be fun.
Oh yeah. Miranda's awesome. You have a good time. That's awesome. So we've been hearing about like these cornhole cruises and we were like, I don't know. Dane's like deathly afraid of like,
it's cruises. Not that I'm deathly afraid. It's just, I feel like the universe has given me a sign my entire life to not get on a cruise.
Okay.
And
no, you're missing out.
Have you been on one before?
Yeah, this is going to be my third cruise.
Oh, geez, you're missing out. He's a baller for here. Third
I like land a lot though too. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think Timmy Jonas and Nicole Pratt were just on the last ACL.
Yeah, so there's 2 weeks. We're like the second week.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, it looks like they had a hell of a time.
Hell yeah.
I mean, again, you're going to get to go ball out and party for a few days and represent the ACL. And do you get to play too?
I'm not playing. We can't play.
You're not okay. I guess that's kind of fair.
Can you play cash games afterwards?
We have to take Trey's job. So like there's the tournament like on the island and then the finals is gonna be played on like the boat deck.
That's sweet.
And like you get to like commentate it, I think.
Ooh,
so,
that's fun. Oh, okay. All right.
That'd it's tough good. Little shit, you know?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Just win some cash games and come out like with a cool G.
Oh that's god. Sweet. No, I might get jumped if I hustle a bunch of frat kids.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
Oh, they're frat kids.
You have a fun question over there?
I do. I always have fun questions.
You do. I know.
All right.
Always lurking.
We'll just, do I start off with a banger? Do I start it off a little slow?
No.
Oh, right. God.
I like this one. All right.
I'm nervous.
Who would win in a street fight? Michael Vick or Tim Tebow?
Ooh. In a street fight?
Yeah. Tebow's got the size.
He definitely has a size.
He's got Jesus on his side, too.
Yeah. I think Tebow's more, like, athletically built, but I don't know.
Does Vick get the dogs?
Michael Vick's got that dog in him, though.
He does have that dog in him.
Like, Michael Vick strikes me as a guy that's been in a fight before.
Like, he would just walk up and pistol whip Tebow, and Tebow would just start crying. I feel like that.
Yeah.
He'll start Tebowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Holding his nose.
Yeah, I'm going to go Michael Vick.
Yeah, I mean, Tebow, unless, like, the power of Christ compels him.
Well, also, too, how old is Michael Vick now, though?
Sure,
are we talking like current Michael? Are we talking about them in their primes?
I mean, what would Vic be like 40, 42? And
yeah,
Tebow would be what, like 35? Yeah, 35? No,
prime, I would definitely go Mike Vick.
Yeah.
Just Mike Vick is.
I think I would still go Vic. I don't know. Like you said, I just feel like.
Because street fight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's not many rules out there. Like, just get after it. And I think he takes it down.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Yeah. Mike Vick. Correct answer.
I like that question.
You got it correct.
all right. Would you rather randomly stub your toe, get a brain freeze, or bite your cheek 3 times a day?
Oh, shit.
Oh, I hate stubbing my toe. Stubbing my toe is actually the most, like, frustrating thing I go through. So I'm honestly going to pick the brain freeze.
Yeah, dude, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. I have little kids, and, like, stubbing my toe or stepping on shit is, like,
we're all in agreement with stubbing the toe, but then, like, biting your cheek, it's the worst. Because you know you're going to do it again no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, it's guaranteed it's macerated happening 3 times.
Meat just inside. Just like,
and then you're just sitting there, like, the next 3 days, it's all tender. You go to sip lemonade, and you start crying. Like, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, too hot. Coffee's too hot.
Exactly. All right, if you had to pick one person to be the ambassador for the human race to meet aliens, who would it be? Sean, I want your answer first.
Morgan Freeman.
You're going Morgan Freeman right off the rip, just because of the sultry voice?
Yeah, I think so. And I think he's just like... a good soul, like good person. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Right?
That was right off the rip.
Yeah.
How about you, Frank?
What's that question again? If alien and human race?
If you had to pick one person to be the ambassador for the human race to meet aliens, who would it be?
Oh, God. That's really tough. I mean, I think the first person I would think is either my mom or my dad, but...
That's sweet.
I have no idea. Because, I mean, my mom, I would say my mom's a really sweet person, and and also say my dad, because if anything goes down, I would have faith in him fucking killing everyone, so...
Well, now I feel like a dick.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about my parents.
No offense to our parents. That's because we're broad thinkers, because I would go Keanu Reeves.
Oh, okay.
Very much same as you. Gentle soul.
Yeah.
But if shit goes south, he's just going to John Wick him. All right?
Well, Morgan Freeman played God, so I feel like he could
handle
that.
That's true, too. So. Yeah. Fair enough.
You guys had... It's fast.
Yeah, but we do this every week.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so.
And we have no lives.
Random shit just floating around in our head.
All right, this is another. We're gonna have you answer this one first, Frank. Oh, okay. So get your thinking cap on. If you had to go to war, would you choose to go during the Middle Ages, the Revolutionary War, or WW1?
Oh shit! Damn, man.
I mean, I would kind of like to snipe some people with bow and arrows from a tree, so I'll go with the Middle Ages.
All right, so you're going, yeah, I mean.
God, I just feel like it'd be so painful. I just picture some dude coming up with an axe.
Dude, then, like, if you get hit with anything, like, you're done. Like, their medicine back in the day was like, oh, let's rub some dirt in it and spit on it. Like, it'll heal itself.
World War One just seems terrifying. Like trench warfare.
Revolutionary War was the beginning of guerrilla warfare where you could actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think of the Patriot.
Yeah, right?
That's all I'm thinking of when I think of that. Fucking tomahawk and just, yeah. Now, I'm assuming I can ride a horse if I'm from that time, right?
I don't know, man. Is the horse going to let you ride it?
Yeah, so I guess we all agree, definitely not World War One.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's still too close to current times where like everything can kill you.
I do like your thinking though of modern medicine bringing into it, but yeah. World War One, like it wasn't there. Yeah, yeah. they're still just lopping off your shit, and they probably had better drugs.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, you're not going to feel quite as much.
Yeah, but they're going to have drugs where you.
I mean, medieval time, they're going to be pouring meat all over you and be like, "Here, just drink this shit." You know what I mean? Like, the Revolutionary time is probably whiskey. Which a little bit more my forte.
Yeah, so. that does heal all ailments.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, last one I got here.
Oh, shit.
Do you think you could beat any creature on Earth if you had 2 samurai swords?
If I learned how to use them, I think so. I actually know.
You're self-wielding samurai swords. Any creature on Earth is coming at you. What do you think?
Could I defend myself? Is that what you're saying?
Can you defeat?
Yeah, like I think like a hippo like still kills me.
Yeah, that's a very good animal. Thank you. Yes, that's an excellent.
They are actually the most dangerous animal.
Hippo, like a crocodile, like I don't know. I don't know if I stand a chance. They might grab my leg.
No, Chubbs was able to get that bastard's eye.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I saw a guy. An alligator bit him like he's trying to save his dog.
Yeah,
and it like clamped down on the guy's arm, and he punched the motherfucker like twice and let go.
Yeah,
and then he just like kicked it with his foot, was able to like get away. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a crocodile I could probably handle.
Or what about like a big like hornet's nest? You can't use a samurai sword to chop up.
I don't know. Have you ever tried to defend yourself against hornets with a samurai sword? Yeah. Maybe it works. We don't know. Like, we're not scientists.
I told you I got stung a whole bunch of times, right?
When?
So right before it started getting cold.
Yeah.
Like I was doing my Christmas lights and shit, like just putting some stuff up, and apparently in my mulch, their hornet's nest or
something. Do you have like the digger hornets? Like
apparently
the black ones.
So I just happened to put my foot down and I was hanging something on my front door and I felt something like sharp hit my leg. And I'm like, oh, that kind of fucking hurts. What's that? And I look around and inside Bruce and Angie happened to be at my house.
Yeah.
And Angie's looking at me. She's like, run. She's like, there are fucking bees everywhere. I'm looking at her like, oh fuck. So I just like take off and swat. Dude, I got stung like 12 times on my leg.
Nice.
Not fun. Yeah, and I haven't been stung in a long time, and I'm like, oh, shit, this stuff hurts.
I could have used a laugh.
All right. Options here. You can only speak in a high-pitched helium voice for an entire year, or you can only speak in whispers for an entire year.
That's hard because my whisper voice is kind of sexy.
I knew you were going there.
Right? But then, like, helium voice would just be like Mickey Mouse. That's not too bad.
Yeah, how about you, I mean, Frank? I've always had a high-pitched voice for most of my life, so, I mean, I think the helium wouldn't be as much of a difference as a whisper, so I don't know.
I'm just trying to think practically. I wouldn't be able to do my job. Like, every old patient I had would be like, what did you say? And I'd be like, I fucking said.
Well, then you just lean in real close and just, I need you to bend over and touch your toes.
No, it's better that way.
Right?
Save myself up for a lawsuit. Okay. You can change one aspect of your physical appearance, or you can dramatically increase your intellect.
Ooh, I'm already so smart. It's a tough question. And I'm that's perfect. Tough.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I need to be any smarter for what I do. Like, I already made
You wouldn't want to be a touch shorter, Frank? Like, you're encroaching on that, like,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
a little too
okay,
tall.
You're 6'5". Like, would you want to be taller, or would you rather be a little shorter? Like, do you wish,
I'd
like,
probably,
you were, like, 6'3"?
The best height would probably be, like, 6'2",
6'3". Yeah, I always hear that from people that are, like, 6'5" or over. They're like, I wish I was a little bit shorter, because, like, life just becomes a hassle.
In behalf of every...
I don't like to stand out.
The short ones out there?
Yeah.
Big middle finger to you guys. Okay?
Sean, what they're saying is they're trying to free up some inches for everyone else, all right?
Yeah.
Maybe you get some of them.
Caring is caring.
I mean...
Right?
That's what I would change. I wish I was a little bit taller.
A little bit taller.
Wish I was a baller.
Wish you were a baller.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What about you?
Yeah. I would take the intellect. Why not?
You're just already built perfectly. And
yeah, I don't mind. I'm not a body shamer.
Are you going to go to Harvard?
I mean, how much intellect are we talking?
I mean, it says dramatically.
Dramatically, so. Then probably, yeah. I mean, I'm fairly smart already, but yeah, if you add dramatic to it, all right.
Ooh,
sign
like
me
this
up.
One. This is right up our alley. Pizza and cake, or tacos and pie?
Ooh.
That one's easy for me. I'm going pizza and cake.
Okay.
Pizza and cake. See, I'm not much of a pie guy, but I would definitely take a taco over pizza. That's tough.
It is. I'm also with you. I'm going pizza and cake.
But I'm also not a sweets guy, so I'm like, well, then tacos should trump
all.
And
you can find a pie that you like.
Yeah, tacos are trumping all, yeah, because like you give like a French silk pie or something, yeah, just basically give me chocolate pudding. Like, that's fine.
Apple pie is also amazing. It's tough. That's
it really
tough
is.
To get rid of.
It is. Have you ever seen American Pie, the movie? Movies?
I know the song by Don McLean.
Oh, man.
I'm happy about that, but I figure there's a generational gap here. Going to give you some homework when we sign off here. You got to watch the... watch American Pie.
The original.
Just the first one.
The first one. It's
fantastic
worth,
movie.
It holds up, too.
Yeah, it really
does. You'll enjoy it. And then you'll get the reference of what Dane was talking about.
100%.
And then you'll... Yeah, we'll go from there. And just check out.
I mean, the generational gap isn't that big. I mean, the song is pretty old itself, too.
It is.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Yep, it's old.
Yeah,
it's big.
Yeah.
Before my time.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I could have a child your age. Technically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have had to start pretty young, but...
Yeah. Technically, it's...
All right. So this one is, you must always dress like you're at a 70s disco party.
Okay.
Or you must always wear medieval garb.
Dude, give me disco all day, baby.
Yeah, that's
they did
disco,
it right, man. Yeah,
it's so funny. Like,
disco never dies.
I completely agree. But my neighbors, like, they like they're
they'd be like, "How dare thee?"
Yeah. So my next door neighbors are into like medieval, like fighting sword stuff. So like they go to all like the Renaissance fairs and they do like fighting and shit. Like they forge that's like scary. Their own fucking weapons and shit like that. Yeah, it's pretty.
I still have yet to get an invite.
Pretty
to
cool.
come over and see them battle.
I
want to live stream it. I'm like, dude,
waiting
this
for them
is,
to put on
this
a
is what we've been waiting for.
I'm waiting for them to put on a demonstration.
Yes.
I think this year's block party is when I'm going to ask them.
I'll just be like, dude, can we just ham it up? Like, I'll get stanchions from work, give them their own arena, and then we can just really lay, like, just have some fun with it. But boys can dream.
All right. Wear a pair of rubber gloves all day long or go barefoot all day long. This is easy for me.
Rubber gloves all day. I hate being barefoot. Oh,
yeah. Really? Rubber gloves.
Oh, I'm going barefoot. 100%.
You're really? Going barefoot?
Yeah.
You'd rather be barefoot?
Nah.
Yeah, because I won't go anywhere.
Fair enough. I mean,
again, rubber gloves, your hands are going to sweat so much.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've worked in warehouses where I've had to wear them all day, and you get used to it. You
rubber gloves all day?
Yeah, if you work in the dish room, basically have gloves on all day.
Yeah, but does the sweat seep through the rubber glove?
No, it just pools inside. So then you're basically just like, every time you lift your hands, you just have a bunch of sweat running down it. It's pretty awesome.
All right, so we're going to go back.
I'd rather have that than actually walk into grass or something, step on dog shit or...
I'm just saying, I just don't
step on Legos. Oh, good. No,
I mean, he does that every day. Yeah, he's,
like, I don't go down to my basement most of the time, like, which is where I have like Xbox and all that stuff, mostly because I'm like, I know I'm gonna step on at least 14 things trying to get across this floor.
Just wear flip flops, man. Throw some slides on,
just plow through it.
Yeah,
so we're gonna go through some of my favorite older ones.
Oh, right? Let's do it.
So, this is one of I feel like this one that can change with. Based on experiences, you can hear colors or you can taste colors.
I would rather taste colors than hear them.
I can't hear shit anyways. I mean, I'm already pretty deaf.
What is like synesthesia or something where you see like music?
Autism?
No, I think it's called a synesthesia or something, but like there's people out there that can literally see music like in different ways and stuff. Like it's kind of crazy, but the thought of tasting colors. Yeah. I'm all about it. I feel like we already kind of do.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like what does red taste like?
I mean, because everything's like,
well, but see, that's what I'm saying. But then you have like a whole variation. Like you could go red could be savory or sweet, right? Yeah. I would agree. If you're going sweeter, I'd say probably the fruity cherry.
But you know how many colors are in the red family?
We can
go down the list. So like the little subtle nuances could entirely change everything.
He tries to get like throw semantics in there.
Because it's just called logic, okay?
You didn't get the dramatic intro.
I'm just talking like the bright. I'm just saying like the bright red could be like cherry, but then if you get darker, like that could be like.
I'm not arguing with you. I agree. Like, I think that tasting colors would just be.
Yeah, because we can already see all these colors on the spectrum. Why can't we taste?
What would red? What would red sound like though? Thank you.
Is that good?
Yeah, red would sound like death.
Yeah.
I was trying to go for it.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. Off the cuff. All right, so this is going to sound awkward, but stay with me.
Uh-oh.
When you're going in to get into a shower, all right, we have the front and the back of a shower. So the front of the shower would be like where the shower head is and the water is coming out, and the back of the shower would obviously be the opposite. When you're getting into the shower, do you get in the front or the back of the shower?
I guess I get in the back.
All right, good job. All right, me too.
Now, like I need, because I'll have room to like, if the water is like piping hot, like I could get away. If I go in the front, then I have no chance. Like,
just my eyes.
So you're a turn the water on, let it get to the right temperature, then maybe test it with a hand or something, or you get in the shower and then turn it on.
Oh no way!
You should try.
Imagine you get in there and then it's ice cold.
You should try it.
Dane's been trying. No, Dane's been pushing everyone.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
He's trying.
Like all these like ice plunges and everything, the polar plunges and stuff that people do now, it's the same effect. Just turn that bad boy on to sit in cold for 30 seconds and then move on.
Shower.
It'll change your life. Like, it'll change your life.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. There's no way. I can wake up just fine after a nice warm shower.
Never need caffeine again.
I like
just hit you. Woo! Ready to go. Literally do it every morning. Love it.
We have not asked this in a very long time. I figured why not bring it up now. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I would say no.
You would be correct.
You are incorrect, Frank. Come on, man.
Listen, don't let him talk you. Okay, he's going to try to spin some logic on you. Since we've done this show over 5 years, 98% of the people agree with you and I. All right, so don't let them talk you out of it.
The
bun isn't separated. It's like it's technically one piece of bread.
Oh, is your Subway sandwich separated?
No.
Boom. Don't fault. You're right. All right. You're correct.
So I just killed your entire
argument. I have no argument for this one.
Again, we've done this for years. I have my arguments.
Tier talk.
All right, tier talk it.
What is it?
Oh, I need one?
Yeah, come up. Off top of your head.
Oh, right off the cuff. Right off the cuff. All right. Tier talk. Give me your top three karaoke songs.
Oh, all right.
And I don't care if you don't do karaoke. What are you singing out loud in your car?
Am I going first?
Sean's got to go first because usually he just asks me randomly and I get put on the spot. I came up with a question this time, so Sean's got to do it.
All right. Number three, I'm going to go with Fat Bottom Girls.
Hell yeah. Queen. Great jam.
Yeah.
No honorable mention.
Okay. All right. Honorable mention.
Sean has the voice of an angel, by the way. So
it's a song that I like now, but like I haven't done it yet. So like I don't feel like it can count.
Yeah.
Save Me by Jelly Roll. Oh, fuck, man. Yeah. I would rock out. I can't. I'm just waiting till the time I get to next karaoke. Number two.
You just need to get a face tattoo and do it.
Give me, man, there's so many. Give me Santeria by Sublime.
Okay. That's a good one.
And then my number one, it's got to just be because it's like my go-to, like if I'm too drunk to like think of like, I just want to go up there and sing a song like I know, is Friends in Low Place by Garth Brooks.
Boom.
Just an easy one. I just know all the words. Like, I don't even have to look at the screen. Just let it rock. But I sang Fat Bottom Girls at one time at the IA, and that was fun because no one was expecting that shit at all.
Oh, yeah. All right, Frank, we're going to put you on the spot now.
Does that be in order?
No. Well, I mean,
we like to do honorable mention, then 3, 2, 1.
And then build us up to like the best, but I'm interested to hear yours.
So I went like the two cruises I went on, me and my boys, there's like a karaoke like session late at night.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
We sang Mr. Brightside, and we also sang The Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani.
Nice. Heck yes.
But if there's a song that I will never skip and always sing, it'll be probably Rather Be with Bandit.
Nice. All right. I like it. I like the fact that you knew.
I definitely like singing a bunch of pop songs. I like the older generation music with the like my parents' music. I'll sing that.
I get it.
I just don't know much.
How old are your parents?
57, 58.
Okay, so they're about
my sister's older.
Okay, so we have pretty young parents. Like my parents had me like when they were super young. So mom's 60, right? She just turned 60. My dad's 62.
Yep.
So like we're probably the same age. So we probably grew up with similar music. So like for me, it was weird because like I had young parents, so they listened to some of the older stuff, but it was all like 90s pop.
Yeah.
And hip hop, you know what I mean? Like that's really like if we were in the car, like with my dad, it was either Bee Gees, like 70s, like disco bullshit, or it was like hip hop.
Yeah,
it was the most random shit.
With what we grew up with is where I get my karaoke choices from.
So Dane is like, is it like a karaoke junkie?
Let's go with savant.
Not savant. So not quite a junkie because like you don't like create, like you don't go seeking it every week. But
if it's available, if I'm at karaoke, I'm just going to get up and do it.
Like, all right. So what is your list? So you have a long list.
I do have a pretty good repertoire, but number four is actually a new one that I've been testing out and it's been just nailing it. Okay. Yeah. It's Let's Stay Together from Al Green.
Oh, okay.
All right. I know I'm very white. But I got some soul when I sing, and it does come out with that song pretty damn well. I do. Number three, this is where it's hard because I have like, all right, number three, I'm gonna go with the Darkness. I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
Yeah, that's such. That's my favorite song. I think when you sing.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's a great crowd pleaser. So like, love doing that one. And then number two. I'm going to have to go with More Than a Woman from the Bee Gees.
Okay.
All right.
Great song.
The falsetto slaps in that one, but the one song that slaps even harder with falsetto is I Want You Back from the Jackson 5.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That is the one that if it's a dead crowd and they need something to pump up, I'm going up there to sing I Want You Back full falsetto from start to finish. And it always,
When you sang that in KCON, that bar, like, just erupted.
Dude, it just was, blows up, man, every time. Because nobody expects a guy my size to step up and sing falsetto.
Yeah,
so, like, it's just funny. Yeah. Like, I know it's funny. Like, it is. It's not the greatest, but it's just still
who
funny.
Who gives a shit? Like, that's my thing about karaoke. It's like, you don't have to be good. As long as you go and have fun, it doesn't matter how good you are. Like,
I was
no
consider
one's
myself able
you.
To carry a tune.
Far from good.
Like, no. I can carry a tune, but I'm not blowing anyone out of the water. It's
and that's
like,
the thing. It's like, if as soon as you realize, because, like, there's a lot of people, and I still get nervous, too, beforehand, but every time I always have to psych myself, I'm like, no one gives a fucking shit.
Yeah, and
shit.
I'm like, I'm never going to see any of you people again, unless I'm here next week.
Yeah, and there's no one signing no one's here signing people to fucking record deals. Just get up there and
Sean, but what if? What if they are, Sean? All right?
Could be the next
one. One time. You just never know, man. You never know.
Never know.
It also, I think also it depends on like I have like a cycle, like I'll sing like a song for like a month and then like it'll go on to next. So like recently I've been singing like Your Love by the Outfield.
Okay. Yeah. Oh man. That is just
like that one's been hitting more jam. Like recently.
So can you like hold a tune? I'm not going to make you sing right now, but like, are you okay? Or do you just like enjoy singing?
Or are you trying to get a record deal? Cause we do live.
There's some times where I'm like feeling myself, I think I can get a record deal, but then there's times it depends on the day, you know.
Is it like when you're in the shower and then as soon as you step out, you're like, why don't I sound any like you're like,
oh, yeah,
in the shower,
in the
you
car,
sound amazing.
The car, I'm the best singer in the world,
dude, right? Fuck yeah,
I'm there with you. And hey, I know people watch me.
Do you have different voice days where you're like, oh, this just like,
oh, this
sing
that yeah, today. I'm gonna hit this song, for sure. Like, yeah. I know I'm a little raspy this morning, sure. Like, had one too many beers last night, like, woke up with some phlegm in the throat. Let's utilize that,
yeah, correct. Yeah, I like it. Hell yeah, all right, awesome, dude. Frank, thank you very much for joining us, man. This has been fun.
No, thank you for having me. This is fun.
Hell yeah,
man.
We'll let the folks go at home. We'll have you hang on with us just for a minute, but yeah, this is fun. I hope you obviously you've been already kicking ass this season early
success,
on,
man.
Been kind of bursting onto the radar. So we're excited to see what happens at National number one. We hope you guys kill it, and when you guys win a national, you guys can come back on maybe, and you know, we'll chop it up a little bit more.
I'll make y'all proud.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Let's do it.
And shout out to Brotherhood, right? Brotherhood, the Guardians in the semifinals. So let's see if they can make a run. And yeah, so folks, again, thanks for tuning in. We're excited about the Big Asp Open. Again, that's going to be September 21st, 2024.
Mark the calendars,
so mark
folks.
The calendars now. All right, it's going to be a 4-man team event. More details will be to come. We'll have more fun stuff, as always, more audio gold, some people might call it, next week. And as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.